Broadcast Studios, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome to ABQ Connect. It's a beautiful day in Albuquerque on the front range of the Sangre de Cristo Mountains. This is Chip Lusko setting in for Jim Williams today. And I am just thrilled to hook up with a dear friend from Colorado Springs. He's been an example to me of a terrific shepherd, one of my favorite preachers, frankly, and an old basketball buddy from the 80s. Al Pittman, on the line with me.
Hey, Chip, good to be with you today.
Same here, Al. You know, last time I saw you and Norma, we were in Jerusalem, and that was early in 2020. Do you remember January 1st, 2020? Everybody's posting, oh, 2020, it's going to be a great year. What a terrific, clear vision for the future. We, you know,
2020 vision, yeah,
right?
I remember.
And I think, Al, the Mike Tyson quote applies. Everybody's got a plan till you get punched in the mouth.
That's right. Exactly. And boy, did we get punched in the mouth this year.
You think? How's 2020 going for you, Pastor Al?
Oh, wonderful. You know, it has really been a roller coaster ride. It has been a tough time, challenging. Yet, you know, there's always that silver lining around the cloud, so to speak. God is doing a work, man. He's really doing a work.
Well, tell us, first of all, let me introduce you to our audience, and you have a history in Albuquerque, and you're known by many people here, but and others don't. And Pastor is the head of the Church of Calvary Worship Center of Colorado Springs, and done a terrific job in planting a church over several decades now, and he joins us from Colorado. And you've had an interesting ride with the state in terms of how they're addressing the issue of church openings.
Yeah, we like everybody else, we shut down because we love people and we want people to be healthy and safe. And, it did that according to our governor's order. And then the purpose for doing that was to flatten the curve of coronavirus or COVID-19. And so the curve has been flattened. I mean, reports have come out saying, hey, the curve has been flattened. And we had an order that the governor gave us ended as far as the stay-at-home order on April 26th, I believe it was. And so I thought, well, the following week or maybe the week after, we will start our regular services, of course, with, social distancing and all of that, and we have sanitizers and all that. And we opened up on Mother's Day weekend, and we had, taken a lot of seats out of the sanctuary and out of our overflow areas. And so we had social distancing and all that, and our staff wearing masks and all those things. But Monday morning after the Mother's Day weekend, we got an email from the El Paso County Health Department here, and basically said, you're in violation of the governor's order. You had more than 10 people basically in your services. So yeah, that was a little, concerning to say the least.
And as a result of that, you've pushed back, and this is a very tender issue right now in our country. And also not just for now, Al, but my deep concern is the precedent that's being set for the future.
Yes. Yes. Well, I sincerely believe this, getting more into the spiritual side of this, that God has called the church to stand up when the world at this time is telling us to sit down. And I think, we need to take a stand, not to be defiant. We need to respect those in authority over us, as the Bible says. But even Peter said, when he was confronted by the leadership of the religious community to not preach Christ, he said, well, you judge. Is it better for me to obey God or man? Mm-hmm. And we have to obey God in this. And as Paul the Apostle, invoked his rights as a Roman citizen, so we have rights as citizens, too. So we have canceled service, the curve has been flattened, and we believe we have a religious freedom right, freedom of religion right, to assemble again and to begin the whole services again, of course, observing, social distancing and washing our hands and doing all those other things. And so we decided to contact our attorney. We responded in kind and respectfully to El Paso County Health Department. But we believe, and we know that the law backs us up, that we have a right according to our state law, and of course, of constitutional right, the First Amendment right to assemble and to practice our religion.
There is a tension. I think God gives us latitude in the church, Al. There's a tension between comply with the powers that be and don't do what,
right.
don't do what they say when it violates your conscience towards God. I think each shepherd
right.
has to make a decision about that.
Everyone has to, and I'm not saying everybody needs to do what I did, or if you're wrong, you'll be able to do what I did. But I tell you, I was so convicted by the Lord. I said, Lord, something's going on here that's not, you know, that's not that's beyond reach of is an overreach. I'll put it that way. It's an overreach in regards to our rights and our religious freedoms. And that's when you have to stand up. And you know, we're not out looking for a fight. We're just saying we believe we have a constitutional right to exercise freedom of religion and to assemble. And we have a greater mandate, and that's where, you know, I mentioned Peter. Expression to the religious authorities in Jerusalem, you know, should we obey God or man? God says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves. And people need to be, you know, to have contact with other people. And the body, you know, needs to be edified by one another. And we have a mandate from God. I think that's greater than the mandate of man.
Well, the Bible says, I'd like your response to this, Al, to whom much is given, much is required. And there's no question the American church is greatly favored and highly honored in the history of the church in terms of access and resources and platforms. But what if we did not have the internet? What if we didn't have the opportunity to go, join us online, which most of the church in great sections of the world in Saudi Arabia, Iran, Iraq, Red China, et cetera, does not. They don't have that opportunity. How would the American
right,
church
right.
respond if there weren't online services?
Well, I think of the church in China, the underground churches and all, you know, they still meet. Because, again, we have a greater mandate from the Lord to not forsake the assembling of yourselves. If you don't have the internet and all of this, if you have, I mean, we in America, we have the law, I think, the our constitutional right to do so. I think we need to stand on that. And some places, they don't have that. And yet we still find the church still meeting. Why? Because the Spirit of God is leading them to obey the Word of God. And so we have to obey God rather than man. You know, if you don't have internet, you know, people are still going to meet. I mean, it's just the nature of the body of Christ to come together. I think it was Paul Harvey who wrote a book, or you may be aware of it, entitled some time ago back in the 80s or whatever, entitled If I Were the Devil or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, man, to not want God's people to come together and to assemble, where is that coming from? It's not coming, you know, from a place of complete sincerity. I think there's a spiritual element here that is of the devil, and that is destructive, and that doesn't want to see the church come together. So we have to defy, you know, the will of the world when it tells us to sit down, and we have to stand up at a time when the world is telling us to sit down. So there's times, you know, as with Dietrich Bonhoeffer and others, took a stand, and it cost him his life, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, during World War II. But sometimes we've got to make a stand. We can't just, you know, blindly obey what our governors say or the powers that be say. We have to obey God's word. So I would say, if you don't have internet or whatever, God's still going to lead his people to gather together.
Good wisdom, Al. Appreciate that. My concern is this is a first time ever in the history of anything, but what about next time? How will the church and the world respond? And how will the oppressors of the
yeah.
church respond? You know, that you make a great point about Satan. Here in New Mexico, the mandate came down last week. We can meet as of, I think, Memorial Day weekend with 25%, but we can't sing. And I thought, you know, who in the Wait. Who in the universe would be an advocate of not worshiping God? Well, let me think.
Well, exactly. I wonder who that would be. Now, isn't that what Satan, tried to do in the garden? He's been doing it all along. He wants to rob God of his praise and of his worship. And, when I saw the rule come down, said, hey, you can't have more than 10 people per service. I'm thinking, who wrote that? Obviously, someone who has no respect for the church or has never been in a church. I mean, how do you conduct church service with 10 people less or 25%? You know, what business can survive starting up back up again with just 25%? And business owners are saying, we can't survive. We've got to be 100% or we're not going to survive. And so, we know that where it's coming from. And I think for anything in the future, I think we need to, again, go back to the word of God. The Lord gave me a word, I believe, is from Second Chronicles, if I can, if you'll indulge me here for a second, Chip.
Of course.
Second Chronicles chapter 26. I'm not going to read it all, but basically it's a story about Uzziah. And Uzziah was a great king in Israel. He was, ruled for 50 years. He went in, he was puffed up. He was puffed up in himself. And he went into the temple. The Bible says that God helped him marvelously until he became strong, until he became confident, powerful. And he went into the temple one day and took it upon himself that he's going to offer sacrifices. And the scripture says that the high priest, Azariah, confronted him along with, I think, 80 other priests and withstood him and said, "What are you doing? Get out of here. This is not your position." And, he was upset about it, and he was angry with the priest. And the Bible says God smote him with leprosy, and he had leprosy, of course, until he died. I just look at that as God saying to me, and the word that God gave to me is that Uzziah is in the house. The people who have power, who have authority, have come into the church, and now is telling us how and when to worship God, and now even you can't even sing. Where does that come from? Uzziah, full of himself, powerful, thinking that he's all that. And we have a lot of government officials and governors who are making orders and all for the house of God. And I think that's when, like the priests with Amaziah, we need to stand up and confront that. And that's what I think we're facing today. And we have to do that, whether it's today or tomorrow or 20 years from now. The church needs to stand up.
You see what I mean, folks? This brother can preach. Just go out. Don't you agree that all we really need to know is early on in the whole thing when they said churches were non-essential, but abortion clinics were? And that's all you really needed to know.
Yeah. Well, here in Colorado, the liquor stores are open, the marijuana shops are open, the abortion clinics are open, Costco, Walmart, big box stores, mom-pop stores are shut down. I mean, something's wrong with shutting down the whole economy this way. And I understand the initial response, out of concern for due to some of the models that we saw in the beginning, 2.2 million people dying and all this, which were wrong. But now that the curve has been flattened and all, let people get back to their lives, and especially let people, worship their God. And, trying to control that and tell us how, sort of kind of, piecemeal that out to us is not what God has called us to do, to worship God with your whole heart. Not, hey, Lord, I got 25%. No, with our whole heart, we need to worship the Lord. So, this is an infringement on our rights, but it's, more importantly, it's an infringement upon the word of God.
Totally, Pastor Al. And as our friend in Boulder, Richie Furey, once saying, something's happening here, Al. We're at a pivot point in America.
Yeah.
And,
I believe so.
But God's in the forefront of this. We need to be asking ourselves, what is the government saying, but what is the Lord saying to us and to the world today?
Yeah, I sincerely believe this is a pruning time. We have seen more people come to Christ during this time. God has sustained our church financially and is doing some great things. But I really, I just see that as the hand of God. It sure isn't this preacher. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with His glory. But you know what? I think God is pruning pastors. I think He's calling us to come back to what really matters, to realize that, you know what, we need to be following the Lord and not man. And so this is the silver lining around this dark cloud, if you will, is that God is pruning and He's purging. And I believe He's staging His church for mighty revival. I think people are seeing the great void within our nation and around the world. And I think, you know, the gospel, now's the time to be light, man. Now it's time to be salt.
Well, I'm going to take one more minute of your time, Al, and get a response to something Joel Rosenberg said. And that is that we know that pastors today are not teaching prophecy as they once were. And that's a chilling observation.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, when we start saying the Lord delays, our master delays his coming, when we stop thinking about the fact that Jesus could come any day, then we start, you know, as Jesus said, and, you know, we start beating the other servants and in that type of thing. And we, you know, start walking in disobedience toward God and we start compromising His word. And, you know, some guys are flat out just preaching another gospel. They're not even preaching the cross or the blood or, you know, they're not looking. You know, the Bible says those who have this hope of Christ's return purify themselves. And, you know, there's no purification going on. How can we have revival unless we're willing to be pure in front of the Lord? So, yeah, I think we're seeing that. And I think, you know, God in His love and mercy is allowing us to go through this to hopefully awaken us to the fact that He's coming soon. And I believe his coming is soon, and that we need to preach that and remind people that Jesus Christ, not only Lord, but He's also coming again.
Well, amen. Thanks, Pastor Al, for your time today. I do want to direct people to your website if they want to hear your teaching, the full archive there. In particular, you did a recent chapter-by-chapter study of the book of Revelation, and that's at CWCCS.org, CWCCS.org for Pastor Al's archives. Coming up next on ABQ Connect, we have Pastor Jack Hibbs from Los Angeles, where, amazingly, it's safe to go on the wet sand, but not the dry sand. We'll hear more in just a moment, right here at ABQ Connect on KNKT.